Still haven't done an exact count, but I'd suspect it may be a data point of one how often we hear from the prophet Zephaniah. And he is one of what we call the minor prophets, partially because we don't have a lot written for them, but this reading is really wonderfully paired with our gospel. But we need to understand the context that Zephaniah is speaking into to see how the first reading and the gospel shape each other. Zephaniah is preaching to Israel as it is moving slowly towards what will become the Babylonian exile. And we need a reminder, the Babylonian exile, right, is the conquest of Israel, the destruction, the razing of Jerusalem, and in it, the powerful, educated, wealthy 1 or 2% of society are taken into captivity into Babylon, and the remaining 98% or so are left in this utterly ravaged wasteland with no real infrastructure, no means of education, no economy to speak of. And God is trying to stop that from happening through Zephaniah. The way that Israel ends up in this horrible situation is actually by trying to keep themselves safe. They start making alliances with other nations. They look at more powerful nations around them and they go, well, we need to make some powerful friends as well. And so that means trading away parts of themselves, turning away from the law, turning away from worship of God alone, all so that these bigger and stronger nations will come to their aid. Zephaniah is speaking for the Lord to call the people back from that, to remind them that he has never worked through the exercise of earthly power by human pride and wealth and cleverness. He's warning them, yes, what will happen, but also promising that if it does, he is not going to abandon them. And indeed, what we see is that through that remnant that's left, that is uneducated, that has no infrastructure, no economy, no anything, God rebuilds his people. But that call of Zephaniah to remain in a place of humility, to avoid attempting to take control, is one that comes to us as well. And so we see Jesus really fulfilling this and intensifying it in the Beatitudes. And it is so good for us to return to the Beatitudes because we have heard them so often that we have fallen into the trap that Bishop Barron would sort of warn us about in seminary, which is, he would say, declawing the Lion of Judah. Right? Taking that which is actually demanding and challenging from our Lord and domesticating it. Because I think we often hear the Beatitudes and our eyes kind of glaze over because, oh yeah, they're instructions on how to be nice. And so we ignore not just the spiritual power, but the challenge that's there in them. Remember, Jesus says, I came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so the early fathers of the church, the great spiritual masters, understood that the Beatitudes are the completion, the rounding out of the Ten Commandments. That if the Ten Commandments tell us what to avoid so as to not stray from the Lord, the Beatitudes are the revelation of what God's being with his people is about, which is creating a heart that is like his own. Because each of these Beatitudes are not just instructions of how we should live, but are actually a revelation of what the heart of God is like. Right? That it is a heart that is humble, that does not assert its authority violently. This mourning, this is a mourning that, again, the great spiritual masters understand to be not just the mourning in the face of the loss of loved ones, but mourning that God is not loved as he ought to be. And so God sorrows over the condition of the world, the separation between him and his children. God is meek. Again, not violent in the exercise of his authority. And even when he acts in punishment, it is precise and medicinal. That God desires that things would be rightly ordered, that God's heart is merciful, that God is purity itself, that God seeks to make peace rather than to destroy. And that in Jesus, God takes on persecution and violence. So I want us to linger with the Beatitudes. Because if this is meant to show us what the heart of God is like, as well as what his desire for us is, then we should be aware of which of the Beatitudes we are most resistant to. What's the one that we try and explain away? We try and attach an asterisk to. For example, in times where maybe I've struggled with anger, and so, yay, okay, blessed are the meek, but you know, meekness actually really means this. Or if we're in a place where there's some greed, trying to secure ourselves economically, we may go, well, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, which really just reveals our attachment to material security. So as we hear these, as we go through them again, where are we hoping that this time when we go through the scriptures, we will find that asterisk that gives us permission to not need to change, to convert? Because we are just like the people of Israel. We struggle to trust that the Lord desires to care for us. And so we also are willing to make bad alliances to try and take control of things and not feel our need, our weakness. Even the very name of Zephaniah the prophet is a challenge to the people of Israel, because that name means one who is hidden in Yahweh. Are we scared of being hidden within God? Because it's only when we allow ourselves to be humble, reliant upon the Lord, making no claim to the stuff that we want to hold to for our material or spiritual security and control, that then God is able to cultivate his own heart in us. St. Paul puts a fine point on it, as he often does, summarizing this, that God chose the foolish of the world to shame the wise, the weak to shame the strong, the lowly and the despised, to reduce to nothing those who are something. What are we boasting in? Is it in our own strength, our ability to control reality? Or are we Zephaniah, hidden in Yahweh? As we draw close to Jesus in the Eucharist, who approaches us in humility, in smallness, may we be small enough to welcome him in, and to hide within him, And as we allow him entry into our hearts, we allow ourselves to be gently challenged to avoid the ruin of Israel and to experience the freedom, the exaltation that comes from humbling ourselves, hiding in him, and letting him create his own heart within us.